If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're listening to Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good afternoon, everybody. Another beautiful day in sunny Florida, the Sunshine State. Hope you're having a great day as well. It is Thursday, March 16th, 2023, year of our Lord, 2023, as Steve Bannon would say. And lots going on again, a massive amount of news, big news that has hit again. It seems like every day we're getting some big news. Today, there's a big story that, is coming out of the U.S. House Oversight Committee. And that was announced really a couple hours ago. I put it up at the Gateway Pundit. You can go there and check it out. It's about Joe Biden. And it's about Hunter Biden and Jim Biden and Haley Biden, Joe Biden's former fling and the wife of Joe Biden's, not Joe, but Hunter Biden's former fling, the wife of Hunter's brother who died from cancer. It was his wife who started having an affair with Hunter. And then she's in this stuff too, which is amazing. Lots of corruption with the Biden family. I think that today, if we had a just and timely government, Joe Biden would be impeached. There'd be a vote right now on impeaching Joe Biden. I mean, this is how serious it is. So what happened is the Oversight Committee was able to tie the Bidens to at least $1 million directly from China. And there you have it, you know. And there's four accounts that this money went into. It was Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, and Haley Biden, of all people. And then another Biden that we don't know the name for yet. We don't know which Biden that is. So kind of concerning. Jim Biden is Joe Biden's brother, by the way. Some people say he's the mastermind behind all this corruption. It's a very, very corrupt family. It says so much about this Democratic Party. I was just talking to my brother earlier today about this. You know, the Democrat Party is the party that where they were running slaves in the South. This is the Democrats. The Democrats in 1865 had a big segment of the country, but they certainly owned the South, and they were the slave owners, and they were pushing slavery. When Kansas came along, they passed the Kansas-Nebraska Act that said, okay, whatever the states vote on will be the ruling for that state regarding slavery. And this upset a lot of Northerners because there was a bit of an unwritten rule that we wouldn't have slavery anywhere but where it was at the time of the signing of the U.S. Constitution, so which was just in those southern states. So that really was probably the turning point that led to the Civil War. So the Democrats, when the Republican, really former Rep Abraham Lincoln won the South, seceded. This is the Democrats. They fight in the Civil War valiantly, but not really realizing it. Actually, at some point, Lincoln realized that this fight was over slavery, and that's when he emancipated the slaves, set them free. And then later rules came into play, allowing slaves to vote and to have the other rights of free men. This was not taken easily by the South. Certainly people that had slaves were hurt by it. They were mad because this was their property that Lincoln had stolen from them. So there's a horrible, horrible war, horrible events in our history. But no month more important than April 1865. And that was, and I read this book. There's a great book on it. It's called April 1865. I'm like, what's that? And it's an incredible book. In April of 1865, Lincoln wins the president. Well, he had won the election. He's inaugurated a second time. Ironically, outside the White House that day when he was inaugurated was John Wilkes Booth, his eventual assassinator. And the same month, then Lee surrenders to Grant at Appomattox. And by the way, Lincoln's son was there. When Lincoln first caught up with his son, he couldn't wait to talk to him to find out, you know, what happened there? Can you tell me about it? And that same month, Lincoln's sworn in again as president. He is, the South secedes, and then late in the month, Abraham Lincoln's assassinated. And so what a month that was in U.S. history. And, you know, crazy times for this country. Well, we are facing some crazy times now. And not saying that lightly. There's a lot going on that's really scary. And it involves the Bidens. And today we're seeing more massive corruption out of the Biden family. But we can't, you know, we're just trying to keep up with all this. At the same time, we're seeing this in outside pressure to change the way that we live and push into place these vehicles that which will control us. And so we saw that with COVID, where they took away our rights. And I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that we'll never let that happen again. And these the horrible governors that the only reason they're still in place is because of the stolen elections in their states, just corrupt individuals that did unheard of things during this COVID tragedy. Now they're trying to push a new vehicle to control us, and really a very, very powerful tool for the World Economic Forum or whoever it is that's in charge. And it's this type of currency similar to like a crypto. But it'd be ultimately, you know, owned by the government, and it is scary. And so, here to join us with this and to kind of bring us up to speed, and I'm anxious to hear what he has to say, is our good friend Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Adam, what say you?
Howdy, Joe. Well, actually, this is about the FedNow program, but this is certainly something that could ultimately lead towards the adoption of what you're hinting at, which is a central bank digital currency, CBDC, which is something we should never have. But I am of the belief that what is going on now with this is definitely getting us in that direction. What this is, so the Federal Reserve, they announced a timeline for this. You may have remembered I think it was back in November, December of last year, they were doing a trial program. This is it that they're rolling out with now, part of that. So this is called the FedNow Payment Service. And what this will do is it will allow banks to offer customers instantly available funds. You heard that correctly. So no more waiting days for wire transfers. The what do they currently use? The ACH clearinghouse or whatever it is takes a while. No, this would be instant, just like crypto is. They'll be able to execute real-time payments. However, some critics are flagging concerns, some normal concerns like the lack of cross-border payment processing. However, others are raising questions about surveillance and where this leads, especially in light of the CBDC stuff. So here's the official news. They announced this yesterday. They'll begin formal certification of participants in the FedNow system in April and an official full launch in July. This was first announced in 2019. I'm correcting myself now. Sorry. FedNow will allow banks to instantly transfer payments across the financial system. The first vice president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston and the FedNow's program executive, Mr. Ken Montgomery, said in a statement, quote, "With the launch drawing near, we urge financial institutions and their industry partners to move full steam ahead with preparations to join the FedNow service," end quote. As banks and other financial institutions join the program, this will create a growing network with clearing and settlement features that lets businesses and individuals send and receive instant payments at any time of day. Recipients using the system will have full access to funds immediately, making it easier to make time-sensitive payments. Some analysts have said the Fed now could reduce demand for payday loans because customers who use the system would receive their pay immediately without having to wait for their checks to clear. Sounds pretty cool, all above board. However, let's get down to some of the reactions here. Let's see. The Fed's announcement of a timeline for the launch was met with mixed reactions. Some sought to draw equivalence between FedNow and a CBDC. One of them is Lawrence Leopard, an investment manager at Equity Management Associates, who took to Twitter and said, quote, right on schedule, here is your CBDC launch, end quote. Scott Santons, author of the book Let There Be Money, disputed this characterization, arguing in a series of tweets that FedNow does not have any smart contract ability and is not equivalent to a digital dollar. He says, Fed, quote, FedNow implementation is one of the arguments against launching a CBDC. It's so not a CBDC that it actually reduces the odds of starting a CBDC. If conspiracy theorists who are afraid of CBDC had any sense at all, they'd argue that FedNow obviates the need for a CBDC. They'd welcome FedNow as an alternative that already exists, so don't do a CBDC. But they have no sense, end quote. Okay. Well, Jordan Chattal, publisher of the dossier on Substack, also raised some concerns about surveillance. He stated, quote, FedNow appears to be a prototype CBDC. While instant 24/7 payments seem good, there's implications to leaning into credit-based systems. FedNow can quickly transform to a surveillance system. Does FedNow have AI or human circuit breakers managing it? FedNow is a giant red flag, end quote. So, Joe, what do you think? I lean towards red flag, but what are your thoughts?
Concerning ultimately. Actually, what I'm thinking about is there's a couple cryptocurrencies that were set up really just for this purpose. One was XRP, which is part of the Ripple. And are you familiar with them?
Yep, absolutely. You are correct. And it is XRP from Ripple Labs.
Yeah. So that was that came out, and really its purpose that they were claiming was this would replace the SWIFT money exchange system between banks. And it seemed real logical and smart. And the nice thing is it was independent of any government. You know, it was a separate entity that had been built. It seemed really well designed, et cetera. And there was a certain number of coins and a lot of it was maybe a more advanced, I think, say Bitcoin than prior versions or different alternatives. So what happened was that one of the last days of President Trump's presidency, this guy who he put in at the SEC sued Ripple and basically shut that thing down. And it's still, and my understanding is they haven't resolved this issue. Now it is 3 years later and 2-3 years later. And so it seemed like there was an effort to shut down that coin, that crypto coin, because I think it's because it was a great idea. And they said, well, we want to do this with the government instead. And I don't know who they is, but that seems to be something. And then there was another one, XLS, that had a similar functionality. It was suggesting, it seems like just really just like what you're talking about here, XLS was more for payments and transfers that could be done real quickly through crypto, and yet very transparent, and yet very, very protected, because it was a type of crypto. Anyways, so here we have the government now jumping into this, and not so sure. I'm, you know, knowing what we know about our government now, why would we trust our government with anything? You know, anything, especially that leads us towards, even future control from the state, this tyrannical, state. So, well, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, that second crypto you're mentioning is actually XLM. It's Stellar Lumens. I'm fairly well-versed
in that's
crypto
right.
space. I've been following
that's
crypto
right.
for many years now. Yes, and you're correct also about the lawsuit by Gary Gensler of the SEC, if I'm not mistaken, is it? Yeah, who is suing Ripple. specifically the crypto part, XRP. So it's not a lawsuit against Ripple Labs. So the government is interested in, and if I'm not mistaken, is partly involved with using that Ripple Labs technology as part of the settlement process, and is probably involved with this FedNow thing. But yes, they don't want, they hate decentralization, which is what solutions such as Bitcoin, XRP, and XLM, and pretty much the vast majority of cryptocurrencies, excluding the meme coins, of course, vast majority of them serve a purpose, and they're decentralized, which just pisses these people off because they want to control it, right, and they can't. So this is their version of control, and I stand against it personally.
Yeah, I agree too. Well, really interesting, interesting discussion. We'll have to see what happens here. I think probably people on the right are more turning more libertarians, keep our government out of everything. And especially after what we've seen with January 6th, with the election of 2020, with COVID, with the Mueller exam, we can't really trust these people right now at all. And so unless there was massive controls that were put in place, we'd better stay away from this. So anyways, thanks so much. Another great topic, Adam. You're spot on. Really appreciate it.
Joe. Have a great day.
Yeah, well, yeah, you too. We'll catch up tomorrow. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back. This is Joe Hoff Show.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
I've been an outspoken critic of U.S. involvement in the war in Ukraine since we decided to stick our noses where it doesn't belong. I believe that the only reason that we are involved is to cover up not only Biden crime family financial crimes that were run through Ukraine, think Hunter Biden and Burisma, but I think the real reason is to cover up the fact that we ran a color revolution in Ukraine in 2014. I believe the CIA engineered and executed that color revolution. I think I know how they managed to do it with the Maidan massacre. And that's to cover up the fact that we've been using Ukraine as a bioweapons research facility center for decades, as well as other internet crimes, financial, regulatory crimes, etc. I think that Putin is not a good guy. I've said from the very start, Putin's not a good guy, but he's not the bad guy here. And believe it or not, I never thought I'd say this. If you want to see who the bad guy is, I think we need to look in the mirror. I think it's the United States government.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swinging in reason.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Our next steps to space.
This time we go back to the moon to learn to live, to work, to invent, to create.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, we're back. This is Joe Hoft with the Joe Hoft Show. Glad you're here. Yeah, lots going on. I kind of start off the show talking about the Democrats and just what scoundrels they were, have always been. So from the Civil War that led then into you know, into the 1900s and early 1900s, you had scoundrels like what's his name, Woodrow Wilson, and he was a big time socialist and pushed a lot of things. My understanding is he got real sick and really wasn't even running the government for maybe a year. It was like his wife that was running the government. And so this isn't the first time that the Democrats have had somebody running the government who's not the elected individual. And so that goes against our Constitution. That's just crazy. And then what happened was, of course, World War II. We had FDR, and some people. The one book I read said the only thing that got us out of the recession was the depression was the death of FDR. He was horrible for the economy. He pushed all sorts of social stuff, just like Biden's doing now. I mean, they got to the point that they mapped out how much a dozen eggs could cost, and Americans were obviously, you know, saying this is BS. Don't do this. And eventually, fortunately, he passed away, and then we had Eisenhower step in, and boy, the economy, by the way, under FDR, he didn't have a single new stock market high, not one. The markets crashed under Hoover, and they didn't reach another new high until Eisenhower took off, and he was the Republican, and then the economy took off again. And then Kennedy came in, and Kennedy was kind of a mixture, really, I think, of a Republican Democrat. I think there was a lot of things he was that today you'd consider maybe more Republican. I mean, just like a balanced budget, which nobody, you know, that's just a joke anymore. Nobody even say that. People laugh. But yeah, you had Kennedy, and then LBJ, massive socialism again. And then Nixon came in and had a great economy, and then Carter killed it, and then Reagan turned everything around, had great foreign policy as well as economy, and then George Herbert Bush came in, and then Bill Clinton, and then we had this younger Bush, and then we had Barack Obama that just absolutely destroyed everything about the U.S., wanted massive change. We're dealing with it now. It's just absolute muckery. This government's turned into full-scale fascist tyranny under Obama, just like we learned just last week, this industrial, the censorship industrial complex, as it was defined by a couple of these journalists that have had access to Twitter's files, and they're seeing all the stuff that was happening behind the scenes. The FBI, you know, working with Twitter every day on who to censor, and even sending people out every week. And then we find out, well, it wasn't just the FBI. It looks like another three-digit entities were also involved, like the CIA. Yeah, without saying CIA, it's the CIA. And then what happened was they created this entity called the GEC. The whole purpose of these entities, number of entities, and the whole purpose was to prevent Americans from their free speech, their free speech rights. So that's that's just one of many things that happened under Obama. And then that just carried forward with Trump. The DOJ was taken over. It's just absolutely, just totally a mess today. It's not a mess. It's totally corrupt. We have a DOJ, a court system. Obama, Biden put in all these judges that are just totally corrupt. These people aren't judges. I'm telling you, they're animals. And I was happy to see this morning on Bannon's show, I saw MTG, the representative in the House from Georgia. She crushed it again, saying, yeah, we've got to deal with these judges in D.C. These judges are really, really bad. And they need to be not just impeached, they need to be held accountable. Then she did say that nobody's held accountable anymore. Nobody under Trump. Trump wanted to clean the swamp, and the swamp was not having anything to do with that. They told President Trump in no uncertain terms, they're running the government, not him. And they all need to go. And then we saw what they did with the color revolution, basically, of the 2020 election, how these guys came in. And what I'm reading and putting back together from the 2020 election is unbelievable. Maybe this is where I can give a plug for my couple books. I've got one book on the election steal. It's called The Steal, and it's called Setting the Stage. And it's 10 chapters talking about what led to the 2020 election. Because there was a lot of prep work. And I give this the same kind of thought process as when you would do an audit. You do a lot of planning, a lot of prep, so that you make sure that you're focused and working on the right things. And that's what happened before the 2020 election. A lot of effort. They implemented COVID came along. They implemented then ballot boxes, absentee ballots, this flood of illegal votes, basically, that was their mechanism to steal from Trump. They still didn't have enough. They still had to shut down the government and generate a million votes in Pennsylvania alone, of which they gave 80% to Joe Biden. And of course, it was fraudulent. And numerous situations that were just unbelievable. In Pennsylvania, for example, they locked the doors. Nobody could come in and see what was going on inside. Republicans were kicked out. It was unbelievable. Not a small room. This is an auditorium size room, very big room, where they had tables of people, and it sounds like they were just in there making ballots. And so that's what they did. And then they assigned these ballots to names, and voila, 80% to Joe Biden. The reason we know that was all fraudulent is because of a study that I reported on less than 10 days after the election. And it was about Pennsylvania. And what we saw was that there was a pattern in the numbers, and this pattern shouldn't have been there. And I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and after this break, I'll fill you in on why we know that the absentee ballots in Pennsylvania were fraudulent, and I'll share that with you in a moment. This is Joe Hoff Show.
What station is this?
News station. Ladies and gentlemen,
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
The British Ministry of Defense claims that Russia is taking passports from state industry employees and increasingly disaffected public officials to prevent them from fleeing abroad. Italy's highest court late on Wednesday ordered two American tourists to stand a new trial for the 2019 killing of a policeman in central Rome following a botched attempt to buy drugs, but upheld a murder sentence for one of them.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download, keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Hey, we're back. This is Joe Hoff and the Joe Hoff Show. So what I was sharing right before the break was talking about the 2020 election and talking about what happened in Pennsylvania. There's this effort today that, if we didn't do a good enough job with the absentee ballots, we just need to match the Democrats and we'll win. And that's just that's a lie and whimsical and stupid. It's just absolutely stupid. The people that are pushing this you don't know that they're slitting their own throats. It's like sheep running off a cliff. It's just so stupid. And I don't say this just because I'm just some Joe guy on a radio. I've got, let's say 30 years of audit and or executive experience working for a Fortune 500 firm. I've been in the banking industry, an officer in the banking industry. I've been senior executive in international executive, actually in Hong Kong for a decade. I've done hundreds of audits around the world in various countries, probably 20, I don't know how many countries, of all sorts, fashions, types. And that's why, you know, that's kind of how I designed my books. Like I said, the first book was about setting the stage, second book about what happened. The third book I'm working on right now, which I hope to have finished here in a month or two, which is about the cover-up. And that's kind of after you do your audit work, which is the things that happened. My second book, which it was The Impossible Occurs, Joe Biden Wins. It's impossible. In that book, I write about this piece about Pennsylvania that I'm going to finish and further explain. But this last book then is just kind of after you perform your audit, you do all the work, you put together an excellent report, and then you manage things to make sure that things get done properly. You come to an agreement with those in management on how to get this thing fixed and what needs to be done. And that's the technique, you know, known as auditing. And that's kind of how I've written this book. So I know a little bit about what happened. I've written two books on the election. I've done audit. I think I'm the only auditor to do any work on this election almost. I met one guy that was President Trump hired in Georgia. And other than that, I think that's it. Me and him. Most of the work that some of these guys were just grifters that came in that provided no value. And then there's other people that were attorneys that really don't know how to audit or what to focus on. There was a shotgun approach. You had a lot of people wanting to help, but no direction. And that's what happened. And that's why it was frustrating. And looking back, though, there was just so much misinformation, disinformation coming out of the media, this effort really to kill any effort to deal with this absolute disaster called the 2020 election. So my third book will be coming out here hopefully in a month or two, and I'll let you know for sure. The first two books are available at both Barnes & Noble and Amazon. You can pick them up for $10 each. Not even the price of a Happy Meal anymore. So feel free to go out and get yourself a copy and try to gain an understanding of really what happened. This comes from an expert. I also, by the way, oversaw the financial reporting on billion-dollar entities and multimillion-dollar entities. So, So I got a little bit of a background and a little bit of support. I've got 10 degrees and designations as well that I've earned. So I know a little bit about this topic. And and I'm going to be actually after the show today, I'll be jumping on another show to talk about pretty much this very subject. And then I'm invited on an interview for OAN TV tonight in regards to this breaking news about the Bidens and how they've now tied money back to China, communist China, and flowing into the Bidens' accounts. They've got some banking records that proves now that the Bidens made $1 million a short time after $3 million was paid to one of their buddies. So there you go, the corrupt Biden family. Jumping back to Pennsylvania, 2020. We couldn't get in the door to see what happened. What we found out is that all of a sudden Joe Biden wins 3-4 days after the election. That Friday they announced Joe Biden wins Pennsylvania. Trump was up by about 1 million votes on election night. It was like 2 million to 1 million. Trump was crushing Biden. Average was almost 80% across the board per county, Trump to Biden. He crushed it. The only place that Biden had a chance was very, very corrupt Philadelphia. So what they do, they grab these absentee ballots, brought them all to Philadelphia, and they started counting them there and kicked everybody out. And one Democrat came out in a video, says, hey, this isn't about Trump or Biden. This is about America. What's happening in this room here is unbelievable. You know, it never should happen in this country. And he was calling out the leaders in Pennsylvania to stop this thing. The Trump team tried to get access to the room, had to go to court. Eventually, the judge says, yes, you should have access. And then the sheriff wouldn't enforce it. So they never did get in the room. Trump people never got in the room. It's just unbelievable. You just can't make this stuff up in America. This is just total tyrannical communist fascism, Nazism. It's unbelievable what the Dems did there. And it was a big deal because Pennsylvania was a big state. And the winner of that state is probably going to win the election. And so they gave it to Joe Biden. You know, and here's how we know it was fraudulent. What we found is that President Trump, like I said, won about 80% across the board on election day in all these counties in Pennsylvania. But when they started doing absentee ballots, there was a pattern. I said Joe Biden won 80% of the ballots. Well, what they did is they associate all these ballots with these various counties. And in every county, without exception, except for Philadelphia and I believe Pittsburgh, these absentee ballots had the same pattern. If President Trump won by 80%, then he only won 40% of the absentee ballot vote. If Trump won 70% of the in-person vote on election day, then he only won 30%. If he won 60%, he only won 20%. What we saw is that there was, in all cases, in all counties, a difference of 40% between Trump's win percentage on election day and his win, actually loss percentage, on absentee ballots. There was a pattern there. And the media ahead of time said, well, we know that Democrats are going to fill out the absentee ballots and not vote in person. Well, we don't know that. That's a lie. That was a lie. That was a fiction to build a narrative about knowing what they knew was coming. And this came out of big tech. People like Zuckerberg and others were saying this stuff. It's crazy. They all knew what they were going to do. And that's what they did. I think Pennsylvania was just an example, just one of the many states that were stolen. And I think states like New York and California now, this just happens on a regular basis, Colorado, Oregon, Washington. Once they steal the election, they put this in place, and they know they will never lose another election, ever. This is who we're dealing with. We're dealing with criminals, folks. These people are outright disgusting criminals. So the problem with these numbers in Pennsylvania was that there was a pattern, and the pattern was always 40%. And that number shouldn't be that way. It should be random. But and we should actually see, quite frankly, quite a bit maybe of correlation between the winner on election day and the winner in the absentee ballots. So we went and looked at a couple other states. We looked at Arkansas, and that's exactly what we found. Very random numbers. Trump might have won by 80%, and he might have got 70% of the mail-in vote, or he might have gotten 40%. Never did he reach like 40% in a county. I think one county did he have like 40% less of his of election day vote in the percentage of absentee ballots. So it was random. It didn't last like that in that day vote in the percentage of absentee ballots. So it was random. It didn't last like that. And that makes sense. In Pennsylvania, it was always the same percent. And when you see patterns in data, and trust me, for being a seasoned professional, when you see patterns in data that shouldn't be there, that tells you there's something wrong. And there was something really wrong in Pennsylvania. And what was wrong is they stole the election from President Trump. And I tell you what, you're listening, I'm listening, we all believe the same thing. A poll came out today by Rasmussen. I wrote about it this morning. They sent it to me yesterday, actually. And I wrote about it this morning. And the poll says that more than 50% of the American voters, so this is Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, more than 50% believe that the GOP leadership in 2020 worked against President Trump to basically steal the election from him. This is the leadership of the Republican Party. Americans know. They know what happened. This thing was a charade. It was a coup d'etat. It was disgusting. And that's what happened in this great country in 2020. And maybe when you come back, we can talk some more about what happened after the election and some of the stuff that I'm putting in this new book that'll blow you away. So we'll take another quick break here, and then we'll be back with the Joe Hoff Show here on TNT Radio Live.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
There's a reason why many of us on the right refer to America as a post-constitutional nation, and why I refer to those intentionally running America into a ditch as commiecrats. Case in point, the trial in New York City of one Douglas Mackey, who has been charged by the top-to-bottom corrupt Department of Justice with, wait for it, posting memes. Mackey has been charged with violating 18 U.S. Code Section 241 for conspiracy against rights because he posted a meme urging Democrats to vote by text for Hillary Clinton. As if seeking to prove Mackey's satirical point that Democrats are stupid, Merrick Garland's wingtip warriors are alleging that Mackey deceived the public into casting invalid text message votes as part of a conspiracy to deprive them of the right to vote. And the irony here is rich, because the code section that the party of slavery Jim Crow and the KKK seek to enforce against Mackey and his dangerous meme is part of the Enforcement Act of 1871, better known as the Ku Klux Klan Act. For MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
At Smile Train, we envision a world where every child with a cleft has the opportunity for a healthy, happy life. Children with clefts often struggle to eat, to speak, even to breathe. Addressing every challenge often requires more than a single surgery. That's why Smile Train empowers our medical partners to care for the whole patient and provide ongoing, comprehensive cleft care. Comprehensive cleft care includes speech services, life-saving feeding and nutrition programs, psychological counseling, orthodontics, dental care, diagnostic, and hearing services. Smile Train supports these essential treatments for as long as each child needs to reach their full potential.
Visit smiletrain.org to donate and change a child's life forever. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with Joe Hoff on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff, and we're back, and it's great to have you here. And I love getting this extra time to just kind of talk with you and tell you the story behind the 2020 election. And what I'm seeing now is just unbelievable. As you go through this January 6th stuff, and this is a chapter in my book, and really, you know, you could probably write 5-10 books about January 6th. I mean, it's just it's such a travesty. It's so disgusting. And that's what I've been focusing on here recently. I did a chapter on Hunter Biden too, by the way. And again, we're just finding out more and more every day. Like today, we find the House Oversight Committee announces that they have evidence that the Biden family, I'll say this again, the Biden family was given $1 million within days after $3 million was sent to a friend of the Biden family. And that was transferred from that friend. You just can't make this stuff up. This is the Biden family. These people are so corrupt. They received money from our enemy, China. Now, if you look at their policies, if you look at everything they've done, tell me, write me, share with me anything that the Bidens have done that has hurt China. And I mean, just this week's another example. We've got this Silicon Valley Bank, which now we learned quickly, about 90% of its deposits were over $250,000. It was basically almost like a venture capital bank. And basically a big chunk of those accounts were coming from China. And this bank was set up to help the Chinese so that they could get access to U.S. dollars. Because of course, if they have U.S. dollars, that's much better than their currency, which nobody really has any faith in at all inside that country. And again, that's why they keep the currency locked down in China, because if they ever opened it up, everybody'd take that money and run, which we saw them doing when I was in Hong Kong. So I was an executive in Hong Kong for years. They would find people coming across that border with suitcases full of Chinese money. And they'd come into Hong Kong and they'd buy properties. They wanted to get the money out of China because they didn't have any faith. I heard Steve Bannon say this years ago, back when I was in Hong Kong. He gave a presentation with, actually, of all people, somebody from CNBC, some lady that he knew. But he says, yeah, if they were to open up their border, that money'd come flying out faster than you could snap your finger, because they don't have trust in their government. And that, you know, they're fascists, they're liars. They lie to the people every day. Of course, the people are going to trust their gut. Don't trust these people. And so, that's what the Chinese have done. So here we have Joe Biden then helping out the Chinese. But the Silicon Valley Bank, here's what Joe did last week, is he said, we're gonna make sure that we pay all the we're gonna pay, you know, everybody. Nobody's gonna lose any money. Whether if you're over $250,000, we're going to guarantee it. So then you got J.D. Vance asking the FDIC last week, okay, I'm confused here. So the FDIC rules for the rest of us have been up to $250,000 if our money is insured via the FDIC. This took place, I believe, after the Great Depression. They decided for the government would insure this money. So, okay, fair enough. But what happened here is Biden says, no, anything over 250 as well, we're going to basically insure. So J.D. Vance is asking the FDIC, so are you going to, is this going to happen across the board for all banks, for all entities, for all balances, for all assets? And the guy from the FDIC said, I can't answer that. And why can't he answer it? Because we don't know what the policy is now. Biden changed it. And quite frankly, J.D. Vance said this, and I agree, sadly so, is that, if you're a friend of the Biden family, like China is, who's given them millions, maybe billions of dollars, then you're going to be okay. But if you're a hardworking family man in Florida or the Midwest or anywhere else in this country, and you happen to be a Republican, or you don't, you're not part of the clique, the high school clique in DC with the deep state. Well, then chances are you're probably going to have to pay for all this. Not only are you not going to get it, but when money's needed to replace the funds from these various entities that have been saved up to protect them for a sunny day, you're going to be the one to have to fill that up because we're just not going to have enough money. I've heard something like $5 trillion of our banking assets in the country are currently over this $250,000 limit. So that means Joe Biden wants to cover $5 trillion in bank balances. It just, it doesn't make sense. And then Biden, what he did too is but people that are going to hurt are the people that invested in these countries. So the stockholders. It's like, what a snake. What a snake. Hold the people accountable for what they did. He's not going to do it because this is like a huge chunk of China's venture capitalism business. So probably he's making some money doing it. He's not going to do anything without some money. So anyways, that's what happened this week. Just another example of the Bidens being tied to China. More and more examples every day. We got this. This is why nobody voted for Biden. No, nobody. So I reported this. I just wrote about this in my book about the cover up. On Inauguration Day, you had Joe Biden. There was hardly, I don't know how many people were there, a few hundred. I don't know if it was 1,000 people near the Capitol for his inauguration. Now, with Trump, remember, it was the biggest crowd I've ever seen. Went on and on and on. They talked about Obama crowds. This Trump crowd was massive. And they had Antifa there blocking the roads, trying to prevent people from getting there. Bunch of animals, just animals. These people are so sick. Probably all planned to make it look like nobody cared about Trump, when in reality, Trump had a huge following. He crushed Hillary and he crushed Joe Biden. So they had to do things like lock doors, manufacture 80% of the ballots for Joe Biden, steal the election. Did the same thing in Wisconsin. 145,000 ballots dropped for Joe Biden in the middle of the night. How the heck does that happen? Same thing in Michigan. Two blocks of 145,000 ballots dropped for Joe Biden in the middle of the night. About the same time, a white van enters underneath the facility where they're counting votes in Detroit, the absentee ballots, and unloads pallets of ballots. So what's going on there? What's going on there? Are you telling me that that was legit? And then we had this clown in my book on the cover-up. I'm going to have a chapter. I haven't started really finishing it this one yet, but it's just on law enforcement. There was no law enforcement. Hasn't been for a long time on anything, for that matter. And unless you're a Republican that happened to walk in the Capitol and walk out on January 6th, there is no law enforcement in this country. Bill Barr looked the other way with those white vans in Detroit. He says, oh, that's normal. That's normal. Looked into Pennsylvania, there was a trucker that said, I had a truckload of 100,000 ballots. Came out of New York that I drove into Pennsylvania before the election. I'm looking back now, I'm like, this wasn't right. And so what happened? What happened to that guy? They looked into it. They had plenty of evidence. This guy's telling the truth. And my good friend Tony Schaefer, who's been on the show, says, hey, we went to Bill Barr. We tried to talk to Bill Barr to get this stuff done and to look into this. And he makes a call to Bill Barr, and Bill Barr starts yelling at him. And Bill Barr starts saying, you know, what are you doing? And saying, no, get rid of that stuff. Bury that stuff. I don't want to see it. Screaming at Tony Schaefer, telling him not to look any further. What's going on there? That was Bill Barr. That was the guy who was head of law enforcement in this country. It's just unbelievable what happened. So it was all a convoluted, it was a color revolution, it was a coup d'etat, and everybody was in on it. And so it's no surprise this morning that you'd see the results of a poll from Rasmussen saying that most Americans believe that the leadership of the GOP helped steal the election from President Trump. You can get the results on that at Gateway Pundit too. I wrote about that this morning. I got the data yesterday. So crazy stuff that's happened in our country. And been no law enforcement. We got an absolute treasonous criminal in the White House. And this evidence today should be enough that right now the House should go stop everything. We're going to have a vote on the impeachment of Joe Biden now. And before he can cause any more damage, we've got a southern border that's wide open. Does China like that or China not like that? China likes that. China likes the U.S. looking like fools. We've got fentanyl coming across the border like crazy. Does China like that or China not? Well, you know why China likes it? It's because there's a bit of revenge in these evil people in China. They remember the opium wars, and they know what happened there. And what happened, and this is my understanding, brief understanding, I'm no expert on this or historian, but I did read one book that gave me a brief history of China. And we're actually pretty heavy history. But what it talked about with those opium wars was the fact that there was leadership in China that came and says, we don't want opium in our country anymore. But the British were making a ton of money on it. And the British made them keep the opium. And they went to war over it. The British, in a couple battles, shut these people down. They were saying, we don't want opium. And they were forced to continue to sell opium in the country. And because the Brits were getting rich, it was like the drug lords said, no, you've got to keep this stuff. And it destroyed China for a long time. And some of these people, like I'm sure like Xi Jinping and others, they haven't forgot that. And so they're happy to send fentanyl over to Mexico and give it to the working with cartels, pushing that fentanyl across the border, selling it under the, in the dark and getting it to people, and people are dying. I got a good friend, really good friend. One day he went down the basement. He had a son living with him again who was trying to get his life back in order. He'd been doing really well for a year. My buddy went downstairs. His son had hooked up with his old girlfriend, which was bad news. And my friend opens the door and he says, I knew right then what was happening. And he looks and there's the son over there, dead, had OD'd. And that's what China is doing to our country and our friends and our families with fentanyl. And you don't think that they don't like that? Of course they do. They want to destroy their enemy. America thinks that they're our friend. We're their enemy. And so we, this is what's going on. Joe Biden's helping them in every way. We're keeping the border open, helping the cartels, keeping the border open, human trafficking. We don't know where these people are going. We've got Biden building apartments all over the country. I noticed that after coming back from Hong Kong. What's going on here? There's apartments everywhere. Didn't have these before. We had these big areas outside of big cities that were all full of, new subdivisions, houses after house. Now they're taking away that American dream. And then it blows through inflation, kind of inflation that's through the roof. And American people are, their wages, 32 months in a row, the average American's wage has gone down. It can't keep up with inflation. Can't keep up. 32 months in a row. This is the Biden economy. And today I wrote about this. Goldman Sachs is saying, hey, it's higher percentage, higher belief that they're gonna there's going to be something like now 35% chance that we're going to be in a recession this year. Look at the numbers. Of course we are. This is the Biden economy. Biden foreign policy, give everything to China. Give the Afghanistan, give everything. So we'll talk more about this tomorrow. We'll have a great guest back with us tomorrow, Professor Clements. And I appreciate you listening in. This is Joe Hoff Show. We'll be back tomorrow.